Okay, I'm going to use this microphone because I haven't put the other one on yet and I'm messing around with it, so I'm going to use this, okay? So I just want to tell you before we finish the service today, it's not a sermon as such today because I think this is kind of spoken for itself in the baptism song, but I do want to share a story with you today, and it is a Bible story. It's a story from the Old Testament. It's the story of Naaman. We won't need the PowerPoint yet. That's for a bit later, okay? But it is the story of Naaman that we're doing. So you can actually just put the video on in a minute. That's fine. Thank you. You know what I mean, Dan. Yes. Okay. So I want to tell you this story, a story of Naaman. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 5. And it starts off this story with the commander of a king's army who was a great man. And it says in the Bible, he was a great man. He was highly regarded. He was called Naaman. And this guy had it all going for him. He was kind of really high up in the king of Aram's army. He was the victor in many battles, and so he would be wealthy. He had servants. He had the lot. But he also had a problem. He had a skin disease called leprosy, and he was going to die from it. And so he was kind of bothered about this, and it was concerning him, obviously, as it would. And his wife had a servant girl, and she went to his wife, and his wife then came to him, and she said, I know someone back in my homeland, because this servant girl had been taken captive from the homeland of Israel. I know someone back in my homeland who's a prophet, and he could help my master Naaman. Now, why she would offer that help, I don't know. Maybe he was a good boss or whatever he was. But anyway, she said this to Naaman. And Naaman said, Naaman heard about this. So he thought, do I do anything with this or not? Do I listen to a servant girl or not? But he thought, okay, I'll go and check it out. So he went to his king, the king of Aram, and he said, look, I've heard about this. I've heard there's this prophet in Samaria that might be able to heal me. I've tried everything else. Nothing else has worked. Would you allow me to go and find out? So the king of Aram said, yeah, sure, why not? You can go with my blessing. I'll tell you what, I'll even write you a little letter to the king of Israel to say that it's okay for you to go, and that I'd like him to help heal you. So the king of Aram wrote a little letter, gave it to Naaman, and Naaman set off for the land of Israel. So Naaman gets to Israel, and he goes to see the king of Israel, and he says to the king, he gets to the king, gives him the letter, and the king of Israel reads this letter, and it says, I want you to heal my, I've sent Naaman to you because I want you to heal the commander of my army of this leprosy. And the king of Israel looks at the letter and says, what does he, how am I meant to do that? I can't heal anyone of leprosy. And he says he tears his robes in kind of distress at what he's been asked to do. He says, the king of Aram's picking a fight with me. He just wants a scrap, that's all. He wants to, this is his way of proclaiming law, because he knows I can't do this. Anyway, the prophet Elisha has heard about this and what the king has done, tearing his robes. So he sends news to the king of Israel, and he says, don't worry. Just send Naaman to me. It'll be all right. So the king of Israel says, okay, Naaman, you need to go and see this prophet Elijah. Go and check it out. So Naaman sets off with all his chariots and all his horses and everything else. He brought lots of gifts with him to the king of Israel. He bought 10 sets of clothes, and he brought lots of silver and lots of gold and everything else to try and be healed. He wanted to buy his healing and he's win favor off the king of Israel. But the king of Israel couldn't do it. But he sent him to this prophet Elijah. So Naaman goes to this prophet Elijah, and he gets traveling with all his horses and his chariots, and he gets up towards the door there, and he sends one of his men to go and knock on the door of Elijah's house. And the servant of Elijah, or one of the staff of Elijah, comes to the door, and he opens the door and sees Naaman's men and all the chariots and everything else. And he says, Naaman, Elijah has given me a message to give you. The message is this. You need to go down to the Jordan River and wash in it 7 times. So Naaman's men went back to him and said this to Naaman. Naaman, this is what Elisha says. Elisha says you need to go down to the Jordan River and you need to wash in it 7 times and presumably you'll be healed then. Naaman was absolutely furious. He said he went into a fit of rage. He was really, really cross. These are the reasons he was cross. First of all, he was cross because why couldn't Elijah come out to meet me himself? Why didn't he come out to the door to meet me? I've come all the way on this journey. I've got all my horses, all my chariots. I've come all this way. And this Elijah thinks he's too good to come out to meet me. The second reason is, he says, why should I go down to the Jordan River and wash in a dirty, filthy river like that 7 times? I've got plenty of rivers back in my homeland that are much better and much cleaner. Why does he think I'm going to do that? No way. There's no way I'm going to do that. And he starts to go off. And his men, while he's travelling with his men come to him and they say, Naaman, wait a minute. You've come all this way. And if he'd have asked you to do something really hard, really great, let's say he'd have asked you to, it doesn't say this, but I guess the kind of thing they're thinking of is, if he'd asked you to run up to the highest mountain and jump off a rock or something like that, if he'd have asked you to do something really hard or pay a big price, you'd have done it. Well, yeah, of course I would. But all he's asked you to do is go and wash in a river. Why won't you do that? Well, washing a river, what's that about? Yeah, but if he'd have asked you to do something really great and really hard, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? Yeah, I guess so. Well, why don't you just do it then? Why don't you just go and see? You've come all this way. Suppose so, says Naaman. So Naaman goes down to the river. He says, right, okay then. Okay, yeah, well, that's what you need to wash in the river. Okay, fine, I'll wash in the river. There, see, nothing, no difference. I told you this was a waste of time. Hold on a minute. He said wash 7 times. Well, I've done it and nothing's happened. It's just water. It's not done anything. Yeah, but why don't you just do what he said? What, 7 times? Goodness sake. Right, I'll do it again. See, nothing. It's just the same. The same as it ever was. It's pointless. Come on, Naaman. You said do it 7 times. You've only done it. How many times has he done it?
Three times.
Come on. Right. Okay, 7. Fine. I'll do it then. Elijah comes out of his house, and Naaman says to Elijah, He says, now I know that there is no other God in all the world except the God of Israel, except your God. Now I know that he is the only God in all the world. Amen. Naaman says, great. It's good. Now. What has any of that got to do with baptism? Well, I want to tell you. Because Naaman had a skin problem. And we have something called a sin problem. It's true, isn't it? Naaman had a skin problem. Now you can do the PowerPoint. Naaman had a sin problem, but we have a sin problem. There we go. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Secondly, Naaman had to seek Elijah. And you know what? We have to seek Jesus. We do. We have to seek Jesus. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life for all those who put their trust in him. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's interesting that Elijah helps Naaman find him. When Naaman went to the king of Israel, Elijah called for him to come. And he came. And God helps us find him as we draw near. But Naaman didn't actually meet Elijah till after he'd showed faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He didn't actually meet him until he'd gone through and obeyed him and done what he wanted him to do in that kind of real way. Elijah wasn't going to do it all. Naaman had to take a step of faith. It says in the Bible, seek and you will find. And Naaman had to believe and wash in the river. And we have to believe and be baptized. It's what the Bible teaches us. Naaman nearly gave up at the last hurdle. He wasn't prepared to enter the water. Mighty man he was, after dipping the river 7 times at the word of a messenger. Would he do it or not? He had to believe, even though it seemed unbelievable. Even though it seemed like it couldn't work. He had to humble himself and say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And in the same way, we have to humble ourselves and we have to say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you there. I'm going to repent and I'm going to turn to you. Will you come into my life and do for me what you've done to other people, done for other people here? Will you change me from the inside out? Will you forgive me my sin and give me new life in you? And as you believe and put your trust in Jesus and express your faith in the way that these young people have done today, then just like Naaman met Elijah face to face, And Naaman knew that God was real. So will you. So will you.
Amen.
Amen. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And Ananias said to Saul, be baptized and wash your sins away. Acts 2, repent and be baptized, Peter said, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins.